If you have your Bibles, let's open them, please, to the book of 1 Peter. That's toward the end of the New Testament. 1 Peter, chapter number 3. And if you have a cell phone, I'm going to ask you to turn it on vibrate or mute or whatever you need to do. And that would be a blessing. Again, if you're visiting this morning, the Word of God is exalted at Hopewell Baptist Church through music, through the preaching. And it's not about a denomination. It's not about a man. It's about the man that rose from the dead. And it's about his word. And we hope when you leave, you'll say, what a Savior. And what a Bible. And so First Peter, looking down in chapter number 3 and verse number 12. First Peter chapter 3 and verse number 12. And notice what the Bible says. It says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. The text that we'll be dealing with this morning is where it says his ears are open unto their prayers. And I hope that's our wish today, that God's ears are open to our prayers. You know, I was speaking to someone recently and they said this. They said, God always answers my prayers. And I said, no, he doesn't, because you're lying. And he said, no, he always answers my prayers. I said, I don't believe you. He said, sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says wait. But he always gives an answer. I said, I got it. All right. But wouldn't you like to have more yeses than noes? All right. Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. And I want to speak on that subject. Roadblocks or hindrances to prayer. What would stop our prayers from being answered? You know, it's interesting. We were all made to communicate. We're different than any of God's creation. Even if you love dolphins, even if you think pigs are real smart. Humans are the top of the line. God has given us the voices and the abilities to pronounce words, the minds and ability to comprehend, hear words, feel emotion, express ourselves in details, and that's what God's given us. How come? He wants us to communicate with Him. 2 weeks ago, we preached on listening to God. Today, we could call it how to get God to listen to you. I was speaking to a Mormon this week, not being derogatory saying that, but he told me. And I asked him. He looked at me and he saw me moving my mouth. I was turned. He said, are you praying? And I said, yes. And I said, do you pray? And he said, only when things are going bad. But you ever wonder why God lets bad things happen? If that's the only time we pray, maybe he's just trying to get us on talking terms. You ever thought of that? Genesis 3, you need not turn there. God is speaking to Adam and Eve in the garden. He says, don't eat this fruit, don't eat this tree. And then Satan comes and he starts communicating. And then God speaks to Adam and the serpent speaks to Eve, and there's a lot of talking going on in that chapter. But you don't hear anybody listening to the Lord, and it seems like God's not listening to many of them. The greatest goal Satan has in a Christian's life is to cut down the communication lines. He does it in a marriage long before a divorce ever takes place. The communication lines are cut. They stop talking. And long before a Christian bellies up in their spiritual life, someone stops talking. So we want to talk about that a little bit. Do you have any needs this morning? Is it wisdom you need for a decision? Is it a friend? Is it esteem? A purpose? Housing? Finances? Health? Is it a job? Is it peace? Direction? Is it a soul to get saved? What is it that you need this morning? Heavenly Father, bless now the brief time we have. Help us to notice anything in our lives that would hinder you from hearing us, because we need you a lot. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm just going to give you a list. It's a lot of points, and each point's just kind of quick. And so it'll be like that little porcupine going under a barbed wire fence. Just a few more points, and I'll be through. Okay, so number one, what's the number one hindrance of us getting our prayers answered? Number one, here it is, pride. Pride. It's not that we don't believe in prayer. It's that we don't pray as good as we already know. The Bible says a wicked man does not seek God because of his pride. Pride says this, I have it all together. I don't need anything. I can do it by myself. I don't need any help. And God says that's why he doesn't answer our prayers. He wants us to know that he needs us. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Notice how that goes together. Humble themselves and pray. Or you could say, humble yourselves by prayer. A proud person doesn't pray because he doesn't need God. When we have pride, God says, you don't need me. I don't need to listen to you. We've got to remove that roadblock if we're going to get God to help us. We get a little wealth. We get a little success. We get a little praise. And all of a sudden, we don't need him anymore. You'll find that most people come to church, and if you're a visitor, we're not picking on you today, but most people do not come to church and come to God on a high point. They come at a low point. They come to church because there's a divorce. They come to church because there was an arrest. They come to church after a funeral. They come to church after a doctor's appointment. And sometimes that's what God has to do. He has to get us in the valley to look up and say, I can't do this on my own. I need you. And soon we accept Christ as our Savior. You ever see a peacock? Anybody ever? You know what I'm talking about. You know the big feathers, the little skinny bird, but the big feathers and the loud voice. Anybody ever eat one? They don't serve it, I don't think, at Silverado Country Club restaurant. Why? Because it's not much meat. It's a lot of caulk. And a lot of squawk and a lot of colors, but not much meat. And that's how we look to God when pride comes into our hearts. We got all the beauty, but not much meat to it. You say, Pastor, what are you getting at? Pride. God looked at King Saul. He said, when thou wast little, in thine own sight, I could use you. But now, and I'm paraphrasing, now you're too big for your britches. I can't use you anymore. Are you battling pride in your life today? You look down on people. You criticize people. You have anger issues. Yeah. Okay, number two. Let's move on to something else that's easier, okay? We don't like this one. Pride is a roadblock. It'll stop God from hearing your prayers. Number two, here's another one. Disobedience. Disobedience. See, here's what it is. God gives us a Bible. It's got a lot of orders in it. I want a thou shalt not, thou shalt not. God says, if you do those, he'll listen to you. You don't have to be perfect. But if there's known disobedience in our heart, it will stop our prayers from being answered. King Saul was commanded by God. God says, here's what I want you to do. And only the priest is to offer the offering. Well, the king offered the offering. And later on in the chapter, he prays to God. And the Bible says, but he answered him not that day. He asked the priest, what does God want me to do? He did all the things that a person was to do in the Old Testament, and God was not listening. Is there some area in your life, and I know we're kind of getting down to the nitty gritty a little bit here, not as entertaining as Brother Corey last week because I don't have a beard. And plus I'm not 6'4". So, but is there anything God has already told you to do that you've said, I'm not going to do it, so I'll skip over, and what's the next thing? He doesn't do that. It's like baseball. You don't like second base, you can't go first, third, and home. You can do it, but the run doesn't count. God says, you can't skip a base. He says, so disobedience would stop our prayers from being answered. Number three, sin, known sin. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know if there's sin in your life? The Holy Spirit will be talking to you about it. You know, let's just say you're a liar. And you come to church and the pastor preaches on lying. You say, someone told me. Someone told him I was coming. So you come the next week. Next week the pastor preaches on giving. But the Holy Spirit's saying he's preaching about lying. The next week is Christmas. He preaches on the virgin birth. But the Holy Spirit is preaching to you about lying. That's how God does. God deals with our hearts in one area till we get it right. Here's what the psalmist says. If I regard iniquity in mine heart, the Lord will not hear me. So if I've got some sin I'm hanging on to and I want it more than I want a relationship with God, God says, fine, have all the sin you want, live it up, but you'll never have my ear. You can call all you want and I'm not going to listen to you. We need the Lord. There's no sin worth having that would stop us. It's interesting. When the prodigal son came home, he had lived a life in sin and he came home to his father. You know his first words? I have sinned. He admitted it. What sin is it you're struggling with? Some of you, you've just given up and said, this is just how I am and I'll never have victory in it. God wants to remove that and let your prayers be answered. Number four, quickly, we'll switch on something a little bit less familiar. Disinterest in God's word. The Bible says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law. His prayer shall be an abomination. So here's what he's saying here. God is saying if we're not interested in this book, he will not be interested in our prayers. You've got to get in this book. It's so important. Someone says, well, Pastor, I just don't know the Bible. But you could. If we spend as much time in the Bible as we do on social media, we'd have the whole thing memorized. Sometimes I do funerals and I'll ask people, I'll say, did your loved one have a Bible? Did they go to church? Were they a Christian? Oh yeah, they were a Christian. And I'll ask to look at their Bible they've had for like 40 years. Pages sticking together. Nothing written in it. You could tell it was almost brand new. See, here's what God says. You want me to talk to you? Read what I've already written. I guarantee you, here's Alan. Alan, stand up, would you please? Alyssa, would you stand? So here's this couple, they're getting married August 9th. August 9th, talk them out of it after church, all right? And, okay, thank you, you can be seated. How many of you think, okay, here's Alan, just right after church, he says, Alyssa, look at this. Little hearts all over it. Wrote you a little note. Won't you look at it. He hands it to her after church. I mean, they get married in 5 weeks. You think she's just going to stick it in her Bible and, I'll get to it. I guarantee she has read that letter before church tonight. She's probably read it in the car. How come? She's in love with that guy. Now, I don't understand it. she's blind in one eye and needs a transplant in the other. It's okay. I mean, if that's all she can do, is that the best she can do? Okay, but when you're in love with someone, you're interested in what they write and what they say. My wife was cleaning out some things and moving some things around and probably selling some of my stuff while I was out of town. And she found a box of love letters. When we were engaged, a little silly stamp, I couldn't put it right and it was upside down. And little I love you on the envelope. She didn't throw them away. I said, why are you keeping those? We've been married 44 years. I'm going to reread them. I'm glad you're flipped over me. This takes me back to when we were in college. This book here is a love letter from someone that died for you. And rose again, who has flipped over you and crazy over you. He's got the hairs of your head numbered. Every tear is counted. The Bible says his thoughts are continually about you. You say, what's God thinking about right now? You? Amen. What was God thinking about last night? You? God's been thinking about you all day long. Can't get you off his mind. And that's why he says, I want you to read this book. It'll help you. It expresses my love for you. It tells you how I view you. You got to get in this book. Man, I want God to hear my prayers. I need some things. Get in this book. I was reading somewhere this week. Someone said, what are you doing? I said, I'm cramming for finals. Cramming for finals. Forget it. Not enough coffee this morning in our church. Number next, sometimes it's covetousness. In the book of Malachi, chapter number 3, you need not turn there. But notice what God says. He says, he's talking to the nation of Israel. And he says in Malachi 3, in verse number 8, he says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And God answers, in tithes and offerings. Let's find out quickly. I think I asked you a while back. How many folks have had something stolen from you at some time? Your house or your car or personally? Okay. Now, we're going to narrow it down. It'll be less. How many of you have personally been robbed? Personally been robbed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10. And we had hundreds of hands before. See, it's more personal robbing someone than just stealing when they're not looking. God says, you have robbed me. God says, you have held me up with threat to do bodily harm and taken something from me. And you say, well, how could someone rob God? He says, if you've taken the tithe, which is the first 10% of your income that belongs to God, and you've spent it on bills or yourself, he said, you've robbed me. That's what he says. He says, you're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. So what can we do? He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there be not room enough to receive it. So God says this, am I going to hear your prayers if you're robbing from me? You think I'm going to hear what you want? Years ago, I had a business deal. Someone was going to print a lot of my books and our one steps at a phenomenal price in the Philippines. I met this guy and he had a print and press ministry over there. And I'd seen him throughout the years. He said, I need $5,000 and I had this done in 3 months. It was going to be fractions of what I usually pay to print stuff. I gave him the money. 3 months pass. Oh, we couldn't get the paper. 6 months pass. Oh, the containers fell into the ocean. All these lame excuses. He took my money. I saw him at a conference years ago. He goes, you know, I'm sorry about that printing that just didn't turn out, but if you ever want me to print something else for you, I said, hey, look, man, I've been stupid once. I'm not going to let him rob me again. So God says, These are things that would help us get our prayers answered. One day you're going to have a sick child and you're going to kneel and say, oh Lord, would you hear me? Oh Lord, I've got to have you hear me on this. Boy, this is a big one. You want to have his ear right away. Give you the rest of these here. Number next, wrongs unrighted. Wrongs unrighted. Matthew 5, the Bible says, if thou bringest thy gift to the altar, you're going to give something to God, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. Someone's got a reason to be mad at you. He says, leave there thy gift and go make it right with your brother. And then come back and offer the gift. So what's God saying would be a hindrance to prayer? Here it is. Wrongs unrighted. Someone you've done wrong to that you've never made it right. Wrong textually, wrong verbally, wrong financially, wrong morally, wrong socially. You name the way it was wrong, and they come to mind, man, I've hurt somebody, and they're upset with me about it. God says, go make it right. Go make it right. That's children toward parents. That's mate toward mate. That's Christian toward Christian. God says, it'll hinder our prayers if we don't. When I was in Louisiana, we had this guy that was hooked on drugs. It was only one person in the whole state. It was so easy in Louisiana. No, I'm kidding. But this guy got saved in our church. His name was Boone Pierce. He was an old Cajun boy. And the preacher preached on, you need to make things right. You got saved, make things right. So there was Boone Pierce. The next week he knocked on someone's door. They opened the door. He had a television in his hand. And they said, hello. He said, hi, I'm Boone. Can I help you? Yeah, I'm bringing your TV back. He said, I broke into your house recently and I took it. And I didn't feel right about selling it. I got saved. And I'm wanting to bring your television back. That's what we're talking about. You say, well, Pastor, some of the things I did, I don't even know where those people are. Well, here's what you do. Lord, if you help me figure out where they're at or let me cross their path, I'll make it right. You'd be surprised how many people show up just crossing your path, just happen to be in town, because God's trying to make it right so you can be right and He can hear your prayers. Wrong's unright. Is there anybody on planet Earth right now mad at you? And they have good reason to be? Would you make it right the best you could if it meant God would start hearing and answering your prayers? Sometimes it takes eating humble pie, and that's not fun for anybody. It depends on how bad you want your prayers answered. Let me give you the rest of these. Some of you are saying, I didn't even believe I got dressed up to hear all this. Here's another one here. You're not going to like this either. Unforgiveness. Matthew 6:12, God says, and forgive us our debts. That means what we've done wrong, as we forgive our debtors. So God says, I'll forgive you as long as you're forgiving others. You know, it's so amazing. We always remember those who've hurt us. We never remember those we've hurt. We remember the people, who hit our car. We don't remember the cars we hit. So, Pastor, what are you talking about? David in the Bible had a king that went nuts. He probably had mental issues, I believe. And the king said, I'm going to kill David because the nation loves him more than me. There was a jealousy factor. I believe there was a depression factor. King Saul began trying to chase and kill David. He runs him up into a cave. Two different times David had the advantage of King Saul is available or asleep. And David could have killed him. His soldier said, take the sword. Let me stick him through his heart right now and not have to do it twice. David, here, cut his throat. Here he is. God's delivered him. Here's what David said. I'm not going to touch God's anointed. God anointed him to be the king. I'll let God handle that. See, some of us think we're the revengeful people. God says, I'll handle business. He says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Forgiveness. You say, how do you know if you've forgiven somebody? You don't keep bringing their name up in conversation. Some of you that are real upset or have hated someone your whole life, you still talk about them every day. It's a sign you've never forgiven from your heart. Unforgiveness. If good things happen to them, you don't like it. It's a sign of unforgiveness. Here's another one quickly here. Improper husband-wife relationship. Improper husband-wife relationship. Listen to this here for a moment. And I know it's not as entertaining as Brother Corey, but this is God's word. We're trying to remove these roadblocks. You know, I'd love to hear this week, Pastor, God answered my prayer. Pastor, here's what God did for me. We prayed for this. He answered. Oh, God's listening to me. That's what we want to hear. 1 Peter in chapter 3, notice what God says about marriages. He says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. What's that mean? Give her $20 every week if she needs it or not. As unto the weaker vessels, as being heirs together of the grace of life, listen, that your prayers be not hindered. He says, husbands, you treat your wife right. You honor her. Wife, you reverence. Treat that man like a king. Or your prayers will be hindered. If Christianity does not work at home, you can't export it. And by the way, parents, our kids know if it works at our house or not. That's why some of them don't want the ministry. They don't want church. As soon as they graduate from high school, we never see them again. Why? Because they never saw it work at home. When it works at home, they want it. They'll buy into it. That your prayers be not hindered. Do you honor or dishonor the one you live with? It's a symbol of your relationship to God. We got two more thoughts here. I'll give them to you and we're done. At last, just about last, no importunity. No importunity. Matthew chapter 7, the Bible says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. A-S-K. Ask, seek, knock. And those words, if you study them, it doesn't mean just one time. It means keep asking and asking and asking and keep seeking and seeking and keep knocking and knocking and knocking. When we were kids, and don't want the teenagers listening right now. How do you get a teenager to listen? Say, don't listen to this. We would sneak around since we weren't in gangs yet. And drugs hadn't been invented. We would sneak around to people's houses that we knew and we'd just knock on the door and run. That's as evil as we got. And then I think we graduated to throwing toilet paper on their house. And maybe that was about as evil as it was. But we'd just knock. We thought it was so funny. We'd knock and run and watch them from a distance open the door. And maybe we'd graduate to the toothpick. You could stick the toothpick in the doorbell. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, dong. And it would just ring, 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 ring. So here's what God says. Sometimes we have a need. We say, Lord, Lord, I need something. Well, he didn't answer. Must not be home. And about that time, God opens the door. Was there someone knocking? Here's what God wants. Lord, there's something I need. And I think you want me to have it. Lord, this is important. And I'm not leaving till you open the door. Come on, Lord. This is something big. I'm claiming your promise. I'm living right. There shouldn't be any hindrances. Are you listening to me? Lord, we got to have... That's what God's looking for. God's looking for some people who won't pray one time, who'll pray and pray and pray and hang on and hang on and hang on and give scriptures and reasons and beg God and not give up. Is there some prayer you used to pray and you've given up? Huh? Used to pray for victory over a habit, or you used to pray for a lost soul to get saved. You prayed for years. Well, they're never going to get saved. What's the use? They're never going to change. What's the use? There's a wayward child and they're all messed up and you prayed and prayed. You just gave up on them. God says importunity. Just keep praying. Amen. Years ago, we had a very well-known pastor. I wanted to speak here at our church and he was booked up years in advance. I saw him at a conference. I said, I'd love to have you speak at our church. He said, write me a letter. Write me a letter. Well, I wrote him a letter. And it was like, I don't have any openings for 3 years, but thanks for writing. Well, I mean, I started writing about every 2 months. Man, we need you to come. Northern California needs you to speak. I wrote him another letter. Finally, I just wrote him, we're so excited you're coming. We're putting out the word. Thank you for committing to come. We just don't have the date yet. I guess he thought it was funny. I got a letter and he says, I got this opening and I'll be glad to come. You know why? I knocked and I knocked and I knocked and I knocked and I knocked. You knock on my door long enough and I'll be there with a gun or shotgun or something, but I will answer. You knock on heaven's door long enough with a pure heart and a right attitude and living in God's book and falling in love with Him and communicating with Him, He'll answer the door. And then the last one, and I'm done. Sometimes there's a hindrance to our prayers being answered because it's always about us. In James 1, the scripture says that we may consume it upon our own lusts or our own desires. Whence come wars and fightings amongst you? Come they not? He says, because ye ask not. So God says, many times I don't answer your prayers because you never ask. And then the other times when you do pray, it's never about other people. It's just always about you. I need this. I need this. I need this. We need to graduate to the place where we say, so-and-so is sick. Lord, would you cure them? Lord, so-and-so's marriage is broken. Would you help them? Lord, so-and-so is lost. They're going to burn in hell. Would you save them? We need to be spending so much time about others that God just blesses us in the meantime. So there it is. We've given you 10 hindrances why God would not answer a prayer. I hope you'll look at your heart this morning and say, is there a reason God's not answering some of my prayers? Is there something I'm supposed to be doing? I'm not, and that's why. And then I'll say this in conclusion. The greatest and the most important prayer anyone can ever pray is the prayer to receive Christ as their Savior. Amen. So simple. In one place, Peter is sinking in the water, and he simply said, save me. And if someone understands Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, and he's the only way to heaven, it's a gift, that'd really be all they'd need to say. If they understood that, save me. On the cross next to Jesus was a thief. 6 hours he had spent with Jesus. Finally, in his heart, he believed Jesus was God. He said, remember me. Another fella was on the street. He smote his chest and bowed his head and said, have mercy upon me. They'll all do it. That's the first prayer God has got to hear from any person on earth. That prayer of salvation, because that makes you one of his children. And that makes him your father. If you're here today and you've never prayed that simple prayer and understood it and been saved, we invite you today to give your heart to Jesus Christ. He'll save you. He'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He'll give you eternal life. But you must come to him by faith. If you're here today and there's a roadblock hindering your prayers from being answered, I hope that today you'll point it out to the Lord and say, this is the reason. And it's not you. It's me. And let's clear those roadblocks, because we need God in 2024 to answer the prayers in this church and in our nation.